Did you realize that the gospel passage we just heard is really all about children? I didn't until I was reminded of the ending of last week's gospel, the passage that comes just before the beginning of today. And it is, "Then Jesus took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me.'" So then our gospel today opens with the very next line involving John, who, along with his brother James, seems to be super ambitious. John is complaining about other people daring to heal in the name of Jesus. John's objection is very much like people today complaining about other Christian denominations. How dare they claim to be Christian? They don't even celebrate the Eucharist every week. Well, I guess we really don't say that because we're too polite. We have too elegance. Or how about this? How dare they claim to be Christian? They don't even have Bibles in every pew. Well, you do, by the way. All this righteous indignation. So in today's gospel, Jesus proceeds to shoot down this kind of putting down denominationalism as he says, "Whoever is not against us is for us." But all this is in the context of Jesus' teaching about children. Other places in the gospels tell us that we not only have to welcome children, but become like them, full of curiosity, full of wonder, full of love. Jesus' promise is that if we become like children, we will enter the kingdom of heaven. Children don't arrive in this world prejudiced against anybody. Children are eager to welcome anyone who treats them with kindness. Children don't see skin color and they don't see ethnicity. Children speak and know the language of love, with occasional lapses, of course. After all, they're human too. Somehow, over time, why is it that we adults lose so much of that? Beginning to focus on how other people are different from us. Noticing how other people are not only different, but somehow less than us, or threatening to us. And as we begin to think and feel this way, our souls begin to shrink. Creating differences where none exist is exactly what Jesus warns us against. Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that even in their zeal, putting people in categories has consequences. Consequences that are spiritually dangerous. Jesus uses the language of hyperbole to warn us. Categorizing, putting down other people is like hanging a giant stone around our necks. Better to lose a cherished part of ourselves, a hand or foot or eye, than to fall into this trap and lose our very humanity, our very souls. Still, we do it. Why is it? Still, we do it. Trying to make ourselves more by making others less. And deep down, we know better than that. We just seem not to learn. Or is it just me? Keep on trying to puff ourselves up by putting others down, controlling, manipulating, or just dismissing another person out of hand. How different that is from the open, curious spirit of the child we must become to enter the kingdom of heaven. Over the last 2 years, I have become a devotee of the Scottish writer Alexander McCall Smith, He's about my age and continues to produce sequels to the several storylines he has created over the years. You may know his most famous work, which again is always in progress, The Lady's Number One Detective Agency, set in Botswana. It's wonderful. But another wonderful work of his is set in Edinburgh, and it's called 44 Scotland Street. Two of the colorful characters he creates is a mother, Irene, and her six-year-old child, Bertie. Irene has taken total control over Bertie's development. In fact, she refers to him as the Bertie Project. The mother insists he takes lessons in Italian, that he play the tenor saxophone, which he can barely manipulate, although he does very well. He has to study music theory. She takes him to yoga classes. And though he objects in his sweet, rather mild way, he's never listened to. And then she winds up putting Bertie, remember 6 years old, in psychotherapy. Her need to control him knows no bounds. Here's an excerpt from one of the mother-son exchanges. "Can I go fishing?" Bertie asked his mother. "That boy who lives in Fett's Row went fishing with his dad. They caught two trout. You like trout, Mommy. I could catch some for you." "If that's a joke, Bertie, it's not really funny. Fishing is cruel." Bertie thought for a moment. "But you eat trout, don't you? I've seen you. Isn't it just as cruel to eat trout as to catch it? What's the difference?" "There's an important difference. I'll explain it to you sometime." "Bertie, you know that Mommy does her best for you, don't you? You know that I love you very much and only want you to be happy." Bertie looked down at the floor. "Yes," he said quietly. "It's just that I don't seem to have much fun. I want to have a bit more fun." "Oh, Bertie, you can't say that. Look at all the fun you have. There's your saxophone. You love playing that. I bet that other boy wouldn't know how to play the saxophone or anything for that matter. And then there's your Italian lessons and your yoga and..." Irene was about to say, "and your psychotherapy," but stopped. She was not sure if Bertie was enjoying that as much as she was. And it was best, perhaps, not to mention it in this particular conversation. Well, the character of Irene put aside, people do this to other people all the time. Why? Because we're not so sure where we ourselves really stand, what we most deeply believe. Because we're afraid of how others will see us. Because we're afraid of judging and condemning ourselves. If you and I sometimes fear these things, we need to hear again the words of Jesus. We need to hear them and really listen, really take in what Jesus is telling us. "Come to me, everyone who labors. I will give you rest for your souls. Judge not, so that you may not be judged. Love one another as I have loved you." With these words, Jesus is trying to turn us away from a fearful way of living life toward an open, exploring, curious way of life, like the life of a child. Our spiritual discipline may be learning to honor the precious child that still exists in every one of us. Now, this doesn't mean we don't learn from our adult mistakes. But instead of either denying that our mistakes ever happened or condemning ourselves for them, we can learn from them by a teacher who preaches forgiveness and love. final prayer in the baptism service. I've often thought that while it is being usually prayed for a young child being baptized, it's really a prayer for us all. Give her, give him, an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Our teacher in all of this is Christ. Christ wants for all his children joy and wonder. And we are always in his eyes, his children, held as lovingly in his arms as that little child so long ago.